Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I'm your host, Cody. And we're rounding out December with our last dark Christmas comedy. As I've stated before, today's episode is all about Scrooged, starring Bill Murray, amongst a handful of other people. And those people, I'll go through a list of them real quick before we go over the movie. So you have Bill Murray, who plays Frank Cross. You have Karen Allen, who plays Claire Phillips, his love interest. You have John Forsythe. So actually, I should probably do this. So I don't have to tell you who Bill Murray is. I mean, y'all should know who Bill Murray is. Karen Allen has been in a lot of things. Let's see. Probably most prolific or most popular thing. To me and to some people, I guess, there's a big gap in that, definition. She was in, Cliffhanger. She was in, Animal House. She plays Katie in Animal House. I mean, that's a pretty big role. She's Marion Ravenwood in Raiders of the Lost Ark. I guess I could have really started with that one. Also later obviously appears in by far the worst Indiana Jones movie ever made. But that's Marion Ravenwood. That's who she is. I guess I don't really need to go further than that. You have John Forsythe, who is a late great actor. He was Charlie in Charlie's Angels. Let's see. Well, he's done a bunch of stuff. I mean, he's done so many things. It's ridiculous. Television. He was everywhere in television. Oh, excuse me. Like I said, he was Charlie's Angels. He was in Alfred Hitchcock. He was in one Alfred Hitchcock as a highlight of his career. He played the voice of Charlie's Angels in, well, the movies, Charlie Angels, the newer ones. Let's see. It's been a bunch, so many things. Trying to find some really big ones. A lot of movies. In Cold Blood was a good one. He's been a bunch of stuff. You can look it up. I don't know. I know movies more, so kind of easier for me to see. Then we have John Glover, who is been in a lot of things. His most notable thing is he played Lionel Luthor in Smallville. He plays a really good scumbag. If that helps anything. he was in Gremlins 2. He was in Scrooged, obviously. RoboCop 2. He was in Payback. He's done for television shows. I mean, I don't know if you is not really Smallville was his longest running anything on television, 145 episodes. Let's see. He was in a couple video games. He's done audiobooks. I've actually had him do he did one of my favorite serial killer books, called Level 26. It's a really fun book. Fucked up book too. He did that one. He did He's done more than what I'm looking at right here, right? There's no way that's it. John Glover's done more than that. That's weird. I bet you should have honest. Anyway, it's just John Glover. Lionel Luther from Smallville. You have Alfre Woodard, who... a lot of... I don't know if she's been in a lot of things. Television-wise, most recently, she is... she was in Luke Cage. She was Mariah Stokes in Luke Cage. She was in True Blood for a little bit. Long stints. She was on something for a long period of time. Something called Memphis Beat. There's something else that she was in. Hill Street Blues. That was like 3 episodes. There's something else she did a bunch of on TV. Maybe I'm wrong. Obviously I'm wrong. She's done a bunch of movies all over the place. She was in radio. She's the principal of the high school. Let's see what else. She was in Captain America, Civil War, played Miriam Sharp. She was in Black Panther cartoon, right? Am I mistaking her for someone else? I was right. Black Panther. I knew it. I knew I wasn't wrong with that. 12 Years a Slave. There's that. She was in that. That movie's amazing. She's been in a bunch of stuff, man. I don't know what even to say that she's been in. she's in The Core. Not a good one. I'll end on that. Let's see. We have Bobcat Goldthwait. I hate his saying his name because it's fucked up. Goldthwait. Bobcat Goldthwait. Or Robert Francis Goldthwait. Whatever you want to call him. You probably have to call him Bobcat. I think it's what he prefers, and we don't know him well enough. He has been in a lot of things. He does a lot of directing and producing now. But as acting, you'd most likely know him from Police Academy. Many people believe he's in Police Academy 1. He is not. He is in Police Academy 2, 3, and 4. But many people often mistake Police Academy 2, I think. Not so much they think that's the same movie, but they think a lot of people from Police Academy 2 are in Police Academy 1. And there's not everyone that's in that. Not everyone carried over. And not everyone carried backwards, I guess. That doesn't make any sense. But he's in that. He's in Encino Man. let's see. He was in Disney's Hercules. It's the animated show, not the Kevin Sorbo one. A lot of voice acting. Film-wise. Like you said, the Police Academy movies are best thing he's ever done. Next to Scrooge. Bunch of small, weird shit. His movies, the ones he wrote and directed, he did Shakes the Clown in 91, he actually played Shakes the Clown. He wrote and directed that as well. But World's Greatest Dad, he had a cameo in that, but there's that. God Bless America, which is his, he wrote and produced, did not direct that one. Let's see. Sleeping Dogs Lie was a big one for him too, if I'm not mistaken. Real big independent, I don't know how to say, real big independent movie. But it was a very popular movie. I know that much. As far as I know, maybe not. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. That's about it for Bobcat. You have David Johansen, who has a couple of her names, and has a fun little trivia point for you. He's also on the soundtrack. So David Johansen, or David Roger Johansen, also known as, a couple different things. David Johansen, as in David Joe, two separate words, David Joe Hansen, who is the lead singer of a band called the New York Dolls. He is also known by his pseudonym Buster Poindexter, who he goes under for a lot of the solo stuff that he did. He's fantastic in this movie. But he sings a song on the soundtrack for this year movie. And it's Brown Eyed Girl by Van Morrison, originally written by Van Morrison. In this particular one, Buster Poindexter sings it. But we'll get to more about his role in the movie in a minute. And then last but not least is Carol Kane, who has done a lot of things, but you may not really know her very well. Trying to figure out, she was so many things. Movie wise, she's been on tons of TV shows. She was on a couple episodes of Sesame Street. She was in Transylvania 65,000. Not that that helps anybody. Taxi. Der. She was in Taxi, the TV show Taxi. I know. I was like, she was in TV somewhere. She was on that for 3 years. Did like 20-something episodes. But it's been a lot of stuff. I don't even need to go through that whole list, because that's scrolling down that list makes my finger hurt. And that's it for the cast. That's it for the cast. By the way, the movie was directed by Richard Donner. Richard Donner, for the people who don't know, has done a lot of things. Most notably, he directed Superman. He directed the better version of Superman 2. He directed The Toy, which arguably is one of the best movies ever made. It stars Richard Pryor and Jackie Gleason, amongst other people, and I'll probably talk about this movie sometime. But it's one of the best movies ever made. It's so good. He directed The Goonies, Lethal Weapon, Lethal Weapon 2, Lethal Weapon 3. He directed Maverick. He did The Lost Boys. He did, what else? What are the Lethal Weapon 4, obviously. 16 Blocks, Superman 2, the Richard Donner cut, like I said earlier, was released later on. Executive produced a bunch of the X-Men movies. That's his movies. He's done a bunch of TV shows, nothing real long stints of anything. He produced Mad Men back in the day. And he's directed episodes for everything from Wagon Train, which is an old Western TV show in the 60s, to war shows like Combat, The Lieutenant is a detective show. He did a few episodes of Twilight Zone, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Gilligan's Island, Perry Mason. Gilligan's Island plays a fun little part in the movie that we'll be talking about in a minute here. That's Richard Donner. He's done a bunch of stuff. That's who made the movie. The movie itself, so if you don't know by the name, Scrooged, is a retelling of the classic A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. In this particular movie, Bill Murray's Frank Cross is the president of IBC Television. He's basically pushing the boundaries of television in a way that, frankly, in the 80s, early 90s, was definitely a thing. But it's a little more ramped up in this. But you know, movie magic and stuff. So they're going to do a live production of A Christmas Carol on Christmas Eve, which basically makes the entire staff and all the performers be away from their families throughout the holiday, which is a super dicked move, but he's an asshole, so, you know, that's what he does. During a meeting, he fires a gentleman named Elliot Loudermilk, which I'd like to believe is the name of the band Loudermilk got their name from, but I could be wrong. Look them up. They're on iTunes, I believe. They're on Spotify. They're on all the digital streaming services. Loudermilk, all one word. They're a fun band. So he fires him for disagreeing with him because he's an asshole. Frank is. And then goes on through with his secretary, played by Alfre Woodard. Grace goes over his Christmas list. He starts to send out towels to people, including his brother James, oddly enough played by his brother John. Another little quick trivia for you is all of Bill Murray's acting brothers, real life brothers, that includes John, Joel, and Brian, are all in the movie. John plays his brother, like I said a minute ago, James. Brian Doyle Murray, his older brother, plays his dad in a flashback. And his brother Joel plays a party guest at the Christmas party in one of the flashbacks of Christmas past. And it's pretty entertaining. Then a fun little fact for you, that all four of the acting Murray brothers, all one movie, never always in the same scene, though. Matter of fact, I don't think directly that anybody is in the same scene together, actually. Nope. Joel, I believe, is in the same scene, the Christmas party scene with Bill at one point. He's in that scene. They're in together, I believe. I could be wrong with that. You'd think I'd know since I just watched it, but I can't remember now. Anyhow, back to the movie. After that, he basically... He sends Grace on her way, and he's brooding in his office, and he gets visited by his boss, Preston Rhinelander. Seeing that he's stressed and from under the production, brings in Bryce Cummings, who is played by John Glover, and he's a bigwig from L.A., and obviously Frank feels extremely threatened by him, so on and so forth. They have a little dinner together, or lunch together, and Frank gets some ideas that he's, he's getting overshadowed, basically. He's fear for his career and stuff. And then that night, before the show, so the night before Christmas Eve, so Christmas Eve, as I had to call it, Frank is visited by the ghost of his mentor, Lou Hayward, who died from a heart attack as an unloved miser, as it says here in the description. Basically, if you know the story of Scrooge, or the story of Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge, Christmas Carol, then you know what that's the thing. He's basically visiting him, saying, hey, if you don't change your ways, you're gonna die like me, unloved, and you'll regret it because I do now. And there's a pretty spectacular scene where he shows up. Frank gets all freaked out. He tries to shoot him. The bullets obviously go right through him and shatter a bunch of glassware and bottles behind him. And then he takes a drink, and then as cartoon fashion, the liquid shoots out of the holes that he were just shot through with. Pretty hilarious little scene. But the cool scene of that is as he's walking towards Frank, Frank's backing up, and he slams into the glass of that's facing outward from the high-rise that he's in his office, and Lou grabs him by the throat, and while he's talking to him, pushes him, and he ends up outside the glass. And so you see Lou's arm outside the glass. He's holding him, and Frank's clawing at it, and it's falling apart because he's a decaying ghost. And it breaks off, and he thinks he's falling. It's really a pretty awesome scene. And then basically he tells him that in the next over the next day, he'll be visited by three ghosts from past, present, and future Christmas that will basically show him the errors of his ways and basically show him where he came from, where he's at, and where he will go if he doesn't change what he's been doing. Again, if you know the Christmas Carol, that's the premise of it. At the beginning of the rehearsals, that morning, Lou vanishes, he ghost dials Claire, the Frank's lost love from years ago, and then so that prompts Claire to head down to the studio, and talk to Frank. Frank does not make time for her, and she returns to the homeless shelter where she works. She gives him a card, says, "Hey, if you ever want, you know, if you want to talk about it, you know, come see me." At the beginning of the rehearsal, Frank is visited by the first ghost, the ghost of Christmas past. He appears as a taxi driver, played by David Johansen, masterfully, by the way. He's so fantastic in this movie, in this role. He's shown his past where he first meets Claire. He shows him the Christmas party where he was at before he met Claire. Shows him the Christmas, one of the Christmases that they had together, which they were really happy. Then the last thing he shows him is the breakup on Christmas the breakup between Claire and Frank on Christmas, because he refuses to go with her to their friend's house. Instead, he wants to go to dinner with his boss because he wants to further his career and get his piece of shit show off the ground and maybe make some real money and get into, you know, better standings with the boss. And then she's obviously trying to get him to hang out with friends and family versus working. And he doesn't have it, and he's very defensive and very very mean to her. She breaks it off. He goes right back to work, not realizing what he's doing, obviously. And that's it for the Ghost of Christmas Past. During this, so right after that, he goes to visit Claire with a little bit of a spark of remembrance and everything like that. He goes to the homeless shelter. He is mistaken to be somebody else by these homeless people in the homeless shelter. He meets a couple of them. Frank blows up at Claire because she's not willing to leave what she's doing and go with him, which then severs that connection yet again because he's a fucking asshole. He then runs into Herman, one of the homeless people that he's that mistaken him for somebody else earlier. And he basically shows contempt to him outside and doesn't give him $2, and he returns to the studio. During which he then meets the Ghost of Christmas Present, who is one of the most bizarre characters in this entire movie. Straight up living cartoon. She She's described as a clumsy yet volatile fairy. She is played, she's played by Karen, I lost my place. Carol Kane? Yeah, Carol Kane. From there, she beats the shit out of him. She kicks him in the balls, slaps him in his face. It's just hilarious. The first place they go is the Grace's apartment, which is Grace's Frank's assistant, played by, like I said earlier, Alfre Woodard, showing that she's struggling to support a large family, including her youngest son Calvin, who has remained mute since seeing his father murdered, which Frank did not realize was a thing that happened. He is so wrapped up in his own self that he didn't realize that at one point he made Grace work through the mourning period of losing her husband and the father of her children. And there's this comment, I shouldn't laugh, but it's the comment's fucking hilarious. The way to do it is the ghost of Christmas Present looks at him and says, "Don't you remember her wearing black?" He's like, "Yeah, that was a fashion thing. Everyone was wearing black." Obviously stating that the fact that he made her work through the mourning period and that he didn't even pay enough attention to know that her husband was murdered. Fucking ridiculous. Then the ghost shows him James, his brother, played by his actual brother, John, who still respects Frank as his older brother despite declining invitations for his Christmas celebrations and cheap gifts. The ghost leaves him in utility space underneath the sidewalk, where he runs into Herman again, the homeless man, who is now frozen to death. Frank desperately tries to escape, breaking through a boarded up door and ending up on the set of the production. And then Frank is basically, Preston then gives Bryce the go-how to basically take over running rehearsals so Frank can have some time off. Retiring in his office, Frank finds Elliot waiting for him with a shotgun. Elliot is the guy he fired earlier today, and you see him throughout the movie. At one point during his time in the taxi cab with the Ghost of Christmas Past, they drive by, and you find out that Elliot just got, not only did he lose his job, but his wife left him, so he spent his last money on a bottle of booze, and as the taxi's driving by, he snatches out of his hand, and so now he lost his booze that he bought with the last of his money that he had. And then later on, as Frank is headed to the homeless shelter, you see Elliot stumble out of a blood donation thing with a couple bucks. He passes out due to lack of blood, food, and whatever. He gets essentially rolled by a homeless guy who steals his money, his coat, and his watch as Frank walks by, not paying attention to any of it, on his way to see Claire. And then now Elliot shows up to shoot Frank because he blames Frank, rightfully enough, for everything's gone bad. Losing his job, losing his wife, his house, his booze, and all that fun stuff has happened to him. He blames him directly, which obviously is definitely his fault. So there's a really funny exchange of him singing what is that song called? The Santa Claus song, checking his list, or he's making a list, checking it twice, and he's why he's shooting a double barrel shotgun at Frank, trying to kill him. It's really funny. Frank escapes from Elliot by ducking into an elevator. When he gets up, he realizes there's someone else in there, which harkens back to something else that happened earlier, which is he runs into a guy dressed as the Ghost of Christmas Past, or a Christmas Future, and He's scared by him, and he says, "I know what you're here for, just take me," and ends up being the actor from the movie. This time he runs into the real ghost of Christmas Future, the Grim Reaper-like character. And one of the scenes when I was little that just gave me the willies, it's just unbelievably spooky, is Frank thinks it's the same guy. He goes, yeah, back up a little bit. You're in my face. You know, it's a bit rough. He's looking at him. He's like, wow. He opens his coat, and there's a rib cage, bony rib cage, with these pasty, obviously, like, trapped souls in there, like, moaning and screaming at him. And he goes, oh, our guys put this together? And he looks at it again. He's like, ooh, well, we're going to get some phone calls on that. Hilarious, because it's harkened back to him wanting people to be frightened and things like that, and shocked and awed on the TV. From there, the Ghost of Christmas Future shows him that the future of Grace's son, Calvin, is that he's going to be locked up in an institution because he won't speak, which is a little bit dramatic, if you really ask me. But basically, because of this, he's become catatonic, and he's been and basically Grace is there with him, and she has very little time to spend with him. Mind you, it's Christmas, so, like, you know, you think family should be there, but it's a hospital, so they can't. He shows him Claire, who has heeded Frank's last words to her, and has shunned the homeless and become just like Frank, old and bitter. With her friends at this little thing where she's just just ashamed that there's these homeless kids staring at them. She has the maitre d' like shoo them away with her friends while she's with her friends. And of course she looks back at him and says, you know, something like, "Oh, Lumpy, you were right," or something like that. And Frank, of course, believes that she's done bad things because of him. Or done bad in her life because of him. And then, finally, the ghost shows Frank his own cremation ceremony with the only two people there, which are his brother and his wife. And it's a really cool transition where basically he is saying, hey, like, who's in this? And then he ends up being in the coffin as it goes to get light on fire, as being incinerated. And he breaks his way out, ending up back at the elevator facing Elliot. And at this point, Frank has completely changed his demeanor. He surprises Elliot, particularly when Frank offers him a high-level executive position in retribution of what he did, and he asks him for his help to basically hijack the production, take the control room, tie up Bryce so he can go on live air and basically apologize to everybody, including Grace, James, the cast and crew. He makes a passionate plea to Claire to come back to him, which she does. Finally during this, he says, basically the speech that Scrooge gives, and at the end, the Tiny Tim part, which is "God bless us, everyone," is uttered by Grace's son, and everyone's shocked that he's finally speaking. And then the happy-go-lucky part is they all start singing "Put a little love in your heart" as it goes through, and then he sees during that, Frank looks up and sees Lou, the three ghosts, and the ghost of Herman smile and wave back to him, basically telling that Herman's dead for real, which is super fucked up. Because, like he said, if he would have given him $2, maybe he could have lived. So that's pretty devastating. Like, that's not a high point in it. But he's happier he's with the ghosts. He's got his own wings. Hopefully he's not a violent fairy like the ghost of Christmas Present. It fades. It goes to fade out, and it's Bill Murray's character, Frank Cross, breaks the fourth wall. He comes walking towards the camera. He starts talking to the audience as they're singing. He says, "All right, how about this half of the theater? How about that half of the theater?" And he's like, "Oh, that's not great." He's like, how about the men? All right, how about the real men? And that whole thing. So that goes through. And that's it. That's the movie. Hilarious. It hits all the points of Christmas Carol, obviously, with the morals and the you know, this is what you're doing, blah blah blah. Amazing characters, hugely fantastic cast, amazing songs. The soundtrack itself, so the score of the movie is done by spacing his name right now. Danny Elfman. Oof, man, that was rough. I had notes and I don't know where they went. The soundtrack is fantastic. So the cast and everything is singing the song "Put a Little Love in Your Heart." The soundtrack has that same song sung by Annie Lennox and Al Green, which is phenomenal. You have U2's "Sweetest Thing," sung by a menagerie of people, including George Pendergrass. You have Kool and the Gang singing "Get Up and Dance." Miles Davis, Larry Carlton, David Sanborn, and Paul Schaefer do "We Three Kings of Orient Are," which is in the movie, and then they're actually in the movie, all four of them. You have, like I said earlier, Buster Poindexter does a rendition of Van Morrison's "Brown Eyed Girl," and then Natalie Cole's "The Christmas Song," "Chestnuts Roasting Over an Open Fire," written by Mel Torme. And that's it. That's Scrooged, everybody. That wraps up this week's or this month's theme of dark Christmas comedies. Hope you enjoyed. Found something new. But next week is the beginning of the new year, and a new theme will come out of it. I've already mentioned it before on a previous show, but I'll tell you right now what it is. I won't say, I haven't figured out what movies they are yet, other than The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. But I will be doing Coen Brothers movies. I think I'm going to do two a week. I don't know, maybe. I don't know how I want to do it yet. Anyways, I'll tell you all about the movies I've chosen ahead of time, starting next week when I talk about one or two of them, and then the rest of them that is coming up. So if you want to go and watch them, if you've never seen them before, or rewatch them if you have seen them before, as well as I highly suggest you watch The Battle of Buster Scruggs on Netflix if you have access to it or know someone has access to it. Borrow them passwords, because it's fantastic. I'll talk about that more at the end of the month of January, but next month's theme will be Coen Brothers movies, my favorite Coen Brothers movies. And that's it for this week's episode, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you guys next week. As usual, let's be awesome.